when Christ is not enough. That's a bit of a negative thing, but this is, I trust, as God will help us, a very faith-fueling message. May God help us as we read his word. Colossians 1 down to verse 23. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all of the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it is also in all of the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth, things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, am become a minister. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for it. As we read Colossians, it's just so bang up to date. It is such a relevant word. It's a timely message to the church of Jesus Christ, isn't it? I believe it is. I think the letter also, as you go through the letter, it addresses issues that we are today facing, both within the church community and in the world. We notice, of course, that he's writing to the saints. He's writing to the church. He's writing to believers. He's writing to the blameless, the pure, the consecrated ones. He is addressing us. Of course, at that time, many of the Christians were being persecuted for their faith, but there was also error that was coming within the church, and a lot of mad ideologies and philosophies were already in the world. It's the same today, of course. where the text in particular is verse 13. He has delivered us. He has delivered you. Believer, he has delivered you from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He has delivered us. As I've mentioned, the Apostle Paul is concerned about false doctrine. He does deal with heresy in this chapter, in this book, and in other of his letters. One of the things which he was having to deal with, of course, was that many people were saying that Jesus Christ is not Lord, he's not the Son of God, he's sort of a phantom of God. But of course, a God like that cannot save. He's powerless. We know that Jesus is the Christ, the one prophesied in Scripture, the one who would come to save his people. Hallelujah. And would go and prepare a wonderful place for them for the future. Of course, today many belittle the claims of Christ. So Paul is concerned with false teaching. As I say, in the church was a mixture of ideas and philosophies. Christianity was being mixed with other ideas, other thoughts, other religions. It's known as syncretism. And if it is not dealt with, it will destroy the faith of the church. It will destroy the testimony of the church. That is why we seek to be separate from other faiths in terms of even what we do in the communities and so on. Because when there's mixture, God is not happy. You know, we're mixing light with dark. And it shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be so. So we need to be careful. So when the Christian faith is mixed with other faiths, what happens? The message of the cross and of Jesus Christ is no longer preeminent. It has to take a back seat. You can't preach some of these blessed, unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ because it will be offensive. It is! The cross is offensive to those who are not going to believe. But to those who believe, it's powerful, it's dynamic, it's life-changing. And that's the message we have to get out into the community, into the streets, into the nation, and into the world. Hallelujah. And so the Apostle Paul was concerned that the leaders and of the church, that they seem to have been hoodwinked into believing that Christ was not enough. Religious practices, ideologies, teachings which are not based on the Word of God spells trouble. Spells trouble. One of the errors which is being propagated today from the pulpits and the TV screens, which diminishes Jesus Christ and the cross, is that we are being told that believers, saints, have not been totally delivered from the powers of darkness. That is one, I believe, of the errors and heresies which are propagating the saints of Jesus Christ. And I've been watching at times the Godless channel on TV, and they've got Missions Week, and one of the things which is coming across is that you have to pay your way out of darkness. That is one of the things they're saying, you have to pay your way out of darkness. You have to give that tithe, that special gift. You have to sow your seed to release you from the bondage. Well, if we're listening to such things and it's having an impact on us, what we're in fact saying is, Jesus Christ is no longer enough. That's what we're saying. The blood of Jesus isn't sufficient to save. And of course, preachers are taking advantage of people's fears. They're taking advantage of poverty. I'm listening to preachers who are saying that the blood of Jesus will wash your sins away, but you are still bound by a spirit of poverty, bound by a spirit of affliction, and so on. And if you're poor and not enjoying the bounty of the earth, you are under a curse. I've been listening to that this week. You are in bondage. If you're still poor, if you are sick, you remain bound until you give your special offering, your special gift, and that gift which the preacher will pray over. And you will be bound until you receive that special green cloth or the manna loaf which the preacher has prayed over. Then you'll get your deliverance. Where do they get it from? Unfortunately, it sounds, it is very popular because it gives people prestige and they've got the anointing, but it comes from the pit. It does come from the pit. It is a denial of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. The devil loves it because it takes people's focus away from Jesus and his accomplishments, and it points to self and it points to man. Well, may we keep Jesus Christ preeminent. Verse 13, speak it out. He has delivered me from the power of darkness. He's conveyed me into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He's done it. No wonder he could say, as he hung on the cross, it is finished. It is finished. I receive it by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. True believers have been delivered from the powers of darkness. We have redemption through the blood. We have redemption through the blood. It's past tense, but it's ongoing as well. Now, we don't have to pay somebody to deliver us from poverty, sickness, generational curses. God forbid. He has delivered us. We receive it by faith. Hallelujah. Hebrews actually says, whoever tramples the spirit of the blood of Jesus has another spirit. And I think this is what is happening. We're actually trampling the precious blood of Jesus underfoot when we're saying Jesus is no longer sufficient. The blood of Jesus is no longer sufficient. Believer, preacher, let us get filled with the Holy Spirit and set our hearts, set our affections on things above. Set our affections, our heart, on Jesus Christ. That we seek his glory alone. That we go out into the streets and villages preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, setting the captives free. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Those who are going out, let's get behind them in prayer and support. And may we be saying, Lord, what are you asking me to do? That we don't do our own thing, but do it for Christ and his sake. And he gets all the glory. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. That is our mandate. It's Jesus being used, us being used in his name. Setting captives free. So many people are obviously in bondage. They have a veil hiding them from the truth. They're in addictions. They're sold out to the evil one, just as I was. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Go and preach in my name. Hallelujah. The same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Lord God. So many people today are being taken advantage of by the preachers, the TV, apostles and prophets. So many believers are being told that they're cursed. If you're going through tough times, bereavement, hardship, sickness, redundancy, then we're told we're living under a curse. I want to say this, friends, very carefully. If Jesus is Lord of your life, you're not cursed. If Jesus is Lord of your life, you aren't cursed. You're not cursed. Was Paul cursed because he had to undergo hardships and trials? Was Peter cursed when he was chained to guards? Was Jesus cursed as he suffered horribly at the hands of the religious people? Was Daniel and his three mates cursed? God forbid. Let's just turn to what the Apostle Paul says in another letter to his son in the faith, 2 Timothy and chapter 1. Verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How can the Lord save us and then curse us? Let's just remind ourselves of the very words of Jesus Christ, because I hope we love listening to what Jesus has to say, because they are words of life. He says, the thief comes to kill and destroy. The false teacher comes to kill and destroy. The hireling comes to kill and destroy. But I have come that they might have life abundantly. Abundantly! He says, if you give your life to me, you will find true life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The curse is not broken by giving and taking an envelope and giving it to the preacher as an offering. That is not how you break a curse. Just because you may be enduring hardship, persecution, sickness, it doesn't mean necessarily that you are cursed. Of course, willful sin, pride, sinful habits, disobedience to the Lord, breaking sacred unity with brothers and sisters, family strife, does mean God can withdraw his blessing. It does mean God can withdraw his favour and protection for a season, until there is an acknowledgement of one's sin and waywardness. The Bible clearly says, because he loves us, he will chasten us at times and discipline us. Because he's jealous for our love. He's jealous for our loyalty. The devil can be very aggressive, can't he? And believers, we need to take ground. He has taken ground from us at times that it does need to be taken back. We need to be strong in Jesus. Sometimes it is necessary for us to fast, to humble ourselves before God, and help, and God helping us, that we take authority that Christ gives us, so that we can embrace the victory, so that we can come from a position of sinning, of distrusting the Lord, of disloyalty to him, of being out of step with our brothers and sisters, so that we repent. We acknowledge our sins, we acknowledge our transgressions, and come back to the Father. He embraces us. But sometimes that only comes by a season of waiting upon the Lord, of fasting, of seeking His face. First Corinthians chapter 11, the chapter where it talks about the Lord's Supper, it talks about the Agape feast, it talks about the Lord's Supper, also solemnly points out that some have died, they're asleep, because they did not die to their sinful nature. They were in error. They had sinned. They had abused the privileges of Christ Jesus. They had not repented. There was sin in their lives. Another scripture says, if you live according to your sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit, you put to death the sins, the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. We've just read in that chapter in Colossians, go on living in faith. Go on living in faith. 2 Peter, for your own reference, 2 Peter chapter 2 actually speaks that false teachers, those who are bringing heresy, those who are bringing man's doctrine into the church, they are actually under the curse of God. That's solemn. What we need today in the church is balance. We need to stay alert to the enemy. Don't give him an inch. When we have fallen, repent. Turn back to Christ. When words have come out which have injured and hurt, say sorry. And sorry to God. Turn back to Christ. We are not talking here about remorse. We are talking repentance. Remorse is characterized by feelings of deep regret, of hopelessness. Whereas repentance leads you out of these emotions into the reality of being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And ushers us into the benefits of a greater faith in the Lord. Repentance, true repentance, is always life-giving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It leads to a genuine relationship with God. Jesus Christ came to make us free, not sorry. Hallelujah. And friends, at times it may be helpful to seek someone who's perhaps is mature, to seek them out, to confess and have them to pray with us. Sometimes that is beneficial and right. Sometimes it needs the word of knowledge to reveal the truth about a situation. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. Let us earnestly seek them. The proverb says, faithful are the words of a friend. Sometimes a friend has to hurt us today so that he can heal us tomorrow. But we should never get dependent on people. Believers, don't get dependent on people. Don't get dependent on your pastor, on your elders. We have one intermediary. It's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Don't pay money for your deliverance. Don't lean on man. This book of Colossians, the whole Bible, is telling us how Jesus has won the victory for us. Hallelujah. And we are to stay free whatever opposition and hardships may come our way. He will strengthen us so that we endure, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We sung the song, and Andrew mentioned about, yeah, we are weak in ourselves, but we have the power of Christ at work within us. Hallelujah! The power of the Christ Himself, it points to Jesus. It consumes us with Jesus. We must continue to trust Him, to continue in Him. Jesus promised that if we remain in the vine, we will bear much fruit. Paul is urging the Colossians here to remain focused on Christ if their lives are to please God. Friends, we need to be rooted and built up in Him, established in him. I say to you this morning, don't lose what is yours by faith. Don't lose by unbelief. Don't lose by doubt. Don't lose by listening to wrong teaching that will rob you of the joy of the Lord and will make you bound to man. The Lord has delivered us from the powers of darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't belong to the devil. I am no longer my own. I belong to Christ. He's bought me with the price, the blood of Jesus. That's not just positive confession. It's declaring the word of God. It's true. It's true. You do, if you're a believer and you're in faith, you no longer believe, you no longer belong to the devil. You've been delivered, taken out where you were, transferred to the kingdom of the Son, Jesus Christ. It's a kingdom of light. Hallelujah. Christ has conquered. It is finished. The problem is many people have a different agenda. They have a different agenda. It's different to Christ. They're in it for the money. They're in it for the prestige, for the following. And they keep on wanting to drag up your past and convince you that you're still bound. A lot of counselling does that. And it makes you dependent on man rather than Jesus Christ. He's delivered you. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Redemption. Redemption. Ransom in full. He did that for us. You do not have to do something extra. It is dead works. You're in danger of striking the rock again. It's a form of witchcraft. Many are living under guilt, believing that they are in hardship because they're now and that they're under a curse. Many are teaching that the Lord is still counting their great grandfather and his grandfather's sins against them. What they're saying is the blood of Jesus is not sufficient. People are trying to take control of your life so that you keep on serving them, sowing seeds into their ministry, buying their books and DVDs. Listen to the word of God. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing. The anointing flows down from the head, which is Christ Jesus. When you are connected to him, his presence flows into your life. It's that simple. The anointing destroys every yoke of bondage in your life. It dismantles, it destroys. Hallelujah. And verse 15 to 18 of Colossians then just talks about Christ being preeminent, his greatness. He is above all. He is before all things. This was accomplished on the cross when Jesus cancelled our debts and disarmed our debtors. Hallelujah. The cross is the means of real and lasting victory. He is the conqueror of the powers, because the Bible has just told us that all of the principalities and the powers in the universe are under Jesus. Indeed, all the treasures and of wisdom and knowledge are found in him, as he is all in all. Can't you get excited about Jesus? Can't you boot the devil out in the name of Jesus? Can't you resist him? Submit to God? Plead the blood. And friends, we do have a responsibility. If you've been brought to this truth and you believe it, God has revealed it to you, he's given you a revelation. There are so many believers in this town who are in bondage. See what God will help us to reach out to them, because that's not God's heart. And if any of us have been in bondage to this, God wants to set us free. He really does. If we're in sin, if we're not in faith, friends, then we can have all the praying in the world. It won't make a blind bit of difference until we repent and go to the cross. and then we find grace, salvation, forgiveness. What a merciful God you are. It makes me dependent on Jesus, not upon man. You know, I, as pastor, I could get in the way of Jesus. I pray I won't. I pray I won't. What I do depend and what you depend on is Christ's mighty power that works within us. What more do we need? There is a power at work in you, Christ, Holy Spirit at work in you, which is equal and greater than any challenges that you may be facing. That is greater than any habit which needs to be broken. Hallelujah. See, friends, the reason why the church in Paul's day and today has so much false doctrine is because we have a different leader than Jesus Christ. Because when that happens, people reject the teachings of Jesus Christ and accept a counterfeit, which is, of course, dressed up as the real thing. All spiritual freedom which God wants for you even now is a result of the work of Christ in our lives. Without him, we're slaves. Father, help us to truly acknowledge our own weakness, our own sin, our own folly, our own, Lord, habits which have marred fellowship with you, that have grieved you, Lord, when we have not fulfilled the calling you have on our lives, when we've found pleasure in the world rather than hating the thing which is coming between us and yourself, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. We thank you that we can come helpless. Lord, nothing, we can't bring anything in our hands. Simply come to the cross, and there we find the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. I pray, O God, that any of my brothers and sisters who have been perhaps struggling with bondages which people have put over them, or where they've dragged up things from the past which you have delivered them from, where they've been reminded of things, and Lord, set them free even now. Send forth your word, set them free. The anointing breaks the yoke. Any who have been said that they have generational curses gone back into history, Lord, we say in the name of Jesus, they're free. They no longer are in bondage to man. You have delivered them in the name of Jesus. Help us to put you first, Lord, and say, Christ is all sufficient. He's preeminent in my life. Help us to fulfill our calling while it is still day and walk in the freedom that you have won for us. Help us to have mercy and save others from the fire, if it please you, O God. May we be faithful to you, because you are always faithful to us. Amen.